Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Please be seated. The Trinity, the triune God, God one, God in three, has gone through a tough patch the last, I'd say, 50 years. The last 50 years, increasingly, the Trinity doesn't seem to be anything that's very relevant. We can talk about the Holy Spirit giving us insight or giving us an experience of the presence of God. We can talk about God in this kind of sovereign way over which the world obeys. And we can talk about Jesus as the one who brings us into God. But those are all three separate persons. Well, and the ancient theologian said, well, that's right, three separate persons. The problem is, it's three separate persons, but not three separate persons. It's three distinct persons all in one. And what does that mean? That's the problem. So over the last 50 years, not by anybody's choice or decision, gradually the Trinity just began to disappear. And we would talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about God the Father. We talk about Jesus the Savior. But about this crazy abstraction, the Trinity, less and less is being said, including by me. Though when I do it, it's not so bad. Why is it important that we think of God as three in one? Why is it important that when we think about God, we think about God as Trinity? I think that's a difficult question, but I'm going to try and answer it very briefly with just a couple sentences. First, God is a community. When we look at most other religions, particularly in ancient times, there were many gods. And the gods were always in conflict with one another. Each god sort of stood by himself or herself and were independent of all of the others, and usually in competition of all of the others. The idea that God is a community is kind of hard to get into your head. What does it mean to say God is a community? When we say God is a community, we're saying that there is something about God that says there is an ongoing dialogue and relationship between the partners in this Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that it's important that we think of God as a community, because if we don't, we misunderstand God, but more importantly, perhaps, we misunderstand ourselves. About which I'll say more in just a moment. God is fundamentally not a being, solitary being of great power and majesty and greatness. God is a relationship. In himself, God is a relationship, an internal relationship, traditionally known as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's part of the problem we have in the last 50 years, as we've increasingly seen how much of our faith, how much of the language of our faith is gendered. When we know from Scripture and from theology, there is no gender in God. God is not a man. God is not a woman. God is not a father or a son. Maybe a Holy Spirit, we can kind of, I can see that. What is God? When we say God is a relationship, an internal relationship, we're saying something that they came to in the 5th century with Augustine. Is that God is a relationship of three persons that love each other equally. And it's the love that each has for the other that holds the world together. It is the love that each has for the other that creates the triune God. Why is that important? If we look at, there are no verse numbers here, but page 8, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." What is that saying? This is God speaking now. Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. What the ancient theologians, this passage goes way back to around 600 years before Christ. And what they're trying to say is that God is fundamentally a relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But since it's difficult to use Father, Son, and Holy Spirit today, because in a way it's turning the Trinity into an idol of gender. And God becomes Father almost exclusively, and that turns God into an idol of a father. So in the last 50 years, people have tried various ways to get around it. The most common way that I've heard is to say, like when we baptize somebody, we say traditionally in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How does our benediction, the benediction I use most often, it ends in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all. That's my attempt to try to deal with this problem. Because to say that God is gendered, is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, ends up denying the gospel. It ends up weakening the gospel. It ends up saying something fundamentally untrue about the gospel. And that is that Jesus Christ, the other person in this Trinity, represents in himself male and female. That Jesus Christ in the Godhead doesn't just represent men, but rather in the Godhead, in this Trinity, Jesus Christ represents humanity, the human race, represents all of us. More in a bit. We're going to have a lot when we get to the bit. But this relationship, to understand God, is to understand God as a relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a relationship that is bound by love. So it is love that holds them together. Now, why is that important? Because in the verse, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and so forth. So God created humankind in God's own image, the Bible tells us. In the image of God, they were created, male and female, they were created. The text is telling us that God is an us. God is a relationship of partners. And this relationship of partners ends up determining who we are. Let me go back up on that. God, as a relationship, creates humankind in God's own image. So what does that mean humankind is in? If God is a relationship, fundamentally a community within himself or herself or itself, however you want to say it, if God is a relationship and we are in the image of God, what does that say about us? That we are fundamentally in relationship, that to be a human being is to be in communion. To be a human being is to be a part and parcel of all of the others around us. When I look at you and speak to you, you are helping to shape who I am. You speak to me, even without words, you speak to me, and I am changed because you exist, something happens to me. That my very being is dependent to some degree on who you are, how you relate to me. That to be a full human being, I must recognize that I am a community. And I need the other members of the community in order to be who I am. In order to be who God created me to be, I need you. I need you. I cannot do it alone. I mean, if God has chosen not to do it alone, send a message out to the world, because the world looks at God as solitary, individual being, man, of incredible power. God is so powerful that he can make a rock too big for him to lift up. Does that make sense? No. But it's part of what our culture believes about God. That God, the fundamental characteristic of God for most people is God is power. And this power can do and change everything. God can make a stone too big for God to lift up, for example. Doesn't make sense. If God is fundamentally a community and we are in the image of God, then we do need each other to be the image of God. Right? I mean, if we are in God's image and God is a community, fundamentally, a relationship, then we too are fundamentally a relationship. We need each other. We complete each other. We fulfill each other. Without you, I am not who God intended me to be. I am somebody that is just standing aside, waiting for this big, powerful God to do something that can either pull me into it or destroy me. But the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is a God of relationships, a God of community, a God that pulls people together as God is bounded in the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bounded by love, so we are bounded by love for each other. It is the love we have for each other that creates who we are. It's the love we have for each other that makes it possible for us to be fully human. Now, a strong, contentious statement. If I don't recognize you in your humanity as part of me, if I don't recognize you in your humanity as something that God has created independently of me, but needing me and you to be together, if God has done these things, then we are fundamentally one. We are one with each other, needing each other, fulfilling each other, as God needs and fulfills the other members of the Trinity. We are in God's image. God has made us to be like God. We are little Trinities, so to speak. More than that, to be a complete self, to be a complete self, we have to be in community. We have to be in relationship. We cannot live our lives in such a way so that we are stepping on other people. We cannot live our lives in such a way so that we are taking advantage of other people. We cannot live our lives if our lives are to be a true reflection of who God is and God being a community. If we are not that way, then we not only violate God's intentions, we violate who we fundamentally are. This is a theological claim that the world will laugh at. But I cannot be who I am meant to be if I don't recognize you as part of me. That we are part of each other and need each other. If we turn our back on each other and say, I don't need you. I do just well on my own. I don't need you. Look at what I've done. Look at how much I've made. I don't need anybody but myself. I can do this. I have done this. The theological claim, theological opposition to that is, no, you can't. And no, you didn't. To be who we are meant to be, we need each other. And every success we have is dependent upon the people in our lives, either immediately or extensively, who have helped to shape who we are. In this great passage of Genesis 1, I'd like to go into great depth with you because it's so incredible what it means and how it was developed, but we don't have time for that. Let me just say something briefly. When we read this passage, we are in the middle of a litany. We're in the middle of a liturgy from the 6th century.
This was the Jews' response to the creation stories that they heard all around them. They were now in captivity. They were living in Babylon. They were living in Baghdad. And they were hearing about the great, wonderful things that their gods had done. And the Jews didn't have a creation story. Didn't have one. And so they developed one and made it into prayer. And when you read this passage, it's one rank of creatures after another coming into being, coming out of the ocean and out of the land and filling the skies and filling the earth. And this is this wonderful image of all things relating to each other. That human beings finally, he gets to human beings. And in the human beings, are they separate, more important, distinct from? They're distinct from, but not very much from all the other animals. Not just animals, all creatures. They are, in fact, related to every creature on the planet. Oh, not just the planet. Where did your body come from? Where did the molecules, the atoms of your body, where did they come from? They came from the stars. They came from the stars. Are the atoms that make our bodies up, that make our whole world up, were from the furnace, the blast furnace of the stars, billions of years ago. And we are part of that universe that God has created. We are in the middle of it. God creates this incredible universe and puts us right in the middle of it. And says, and this has caused lots of trouble, and says, I give this to you to take care of. The word dominion here, it's an ancient word, and what it refers to is stewardship. That when the conquering king comes in, he conquers a land, he sets up somebody as a steward to represent him as he goes back to his own land. And usually, that steward is a big statue that is set up, and people would have to come and worship the statue. That's what is meant here by dominion. That is that human beings are to represent God in caring for the earth. That we have been given a task to have dominion, which means to represent God to care for the earth. In our Eucharistic prayer, we say something like that. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite presence and love. And then here comes the crucial part. You gave the world into our hands. You gave the world into our hands that we might be your faithful stewards. That's what having dominion is, that we would be faithful stewards, showing nature, the creation, the love and care you show for us. We are one with all the creatures of the universe. And then finally, the dominant position of God, the dominant image of God in our world is this creature of great solitary power. And it's a violation of everything we know from Scripture. God is not a solitary figure of great power. We understand this because we look at Jesus. Whenever we ask the question, what is God like? We just look at Jesus. What is God like? How does Jesus live his life? What does Jesus do? He teaches. He cares. He heals. He holds people together. He gives them hope. He directs them out. He sends them out. This is what Jesus shows us that God does. But more than that, a God who is all-powerful, almighty, and all-great, and all those great words we like to use, is really pretty distant from me. I'm down here on this earth, and I'm lonely, or I'm sad, or I'm broken. Terrible things have happened to me, and I've done terrible things to others. What good is a God who's a million miles away and so big and powerful he can pick up rocks that are too big for him to pick up? What does it have to do with my life? When we say God is a Trinity, we say that Jesus is part of that Trinity. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the human being in our midst. Jesus is the one who comes to share amongst us the lives we live. Jesus is the one who brings our experience, our history, our suffering, our gladness, our joy into the very presence of God.
our very being is not separate from the presence of God. Our very being is carried by Jesus into the Trinity. Our history, our life, our fears, our hopes are all part of God's being. Extraordinary. We are part of God's being. And we are bound to each other and to God by love. We will discuss this further. As you may remember, a number of you have filled out little cards with questions that you want answered. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking your questions and responding to them. If you have more, you can just take a piece of paper anytime, drop it in the offering plate, or bring it to my office, and we will deal with them in the worship service. But just remember, it's good whether we can't see God as 1, 2, 3, but when we understand God as a Trinity, we understand ourselves. And when we understand ourselves, we can live joyous lives.